This episode is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a biofeedback-based video game platform that teaches kids to emotionally self-regulate. This leads to a significant reduction in meltdowns and parental stress. It's backed by science out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's and has helped over 100,000 kids. For more information, visit theautismdad.com/Mightier. That's theautismdad.com/MIGHTIER and use the code theautismdad22 to save 10%. Welcome to Special Needs Ohio. My name is Rob Gorski, and you may know me from the award-winning blog and podcast called The Autism Dad. For well over a decade, I've been a public figure in the autism and special needs parenting community, where I share my experience as a single dad raising three autistic kids. My kids and I have been through so much together, and I want to use what I've learned along the way to help other Ohio families navigate their journey. And guess what? My kids want to help too, so we're going to be doing this together. Special Needs Ohio will provide you with valuable information about people, places, agencies, and organizations that exist to support families like yours and mine. You'll hear interviews and special interest stories from families all across Ohio that'll provide you with hope, inspiration, and a connection to an amazing community. New episodes drop every Friday, so be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app and visit specialneedsohio.com for more information. On this week's episode of Special Needs Ohio, I'm going to share an interview that I recently did with my friend Lisa Morrison. Lisa is an autism mom. She has three autistic kids. And that was kind of a cool experience for me personally, just because I don't meet too many people who have three autistic kids. So that was kind of a cool thing we had in common. But the main part of this conversation centers around her nonprofit. So not only is Lisa an autism mom, but she's also co-founder and president of Integrated Community Solutions, which is a nonprofit based out of Medina County in Northeast Ohio. They provide enrichment programs and social groups for young people living with developmental disabilities. While they are based in Medina County and operate in Medina County, they attract people from all the surrounding counties. So there's families that come in from multiple counties all around them to participate in these programs. And they also offer classes and kind of enrichment things for parents as well. So that's really, really cool. And they're also working on building a residential community for people living with developmental disabilities that allows private home ownership. It was a really good conversation, and I wanted to share this because I think it's really important to know that there are services and social groups and enrichment programs that are available to people in certain areas. So while this one is kind of geared for Northeast Ohio, I'm looking for more all across the state so I can bring that information to you guys as well. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to tune in. I hope you enjoy the interview. Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. I really appreciate it. Could you take a second and just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. So first of all, thank you for having me. I feel very honored to be on your podcast. So thank you so much for having me here. My name is Lisa Morrison, and I am the parent of three now young adults with autism, and I have a nonprofit called Integrated Community Solutions, and we are addressing needs that we see in the developmental disabilities community.
That's really cool. And one of the things that caught my attention when I first met you, because I watched a presentation that you were doing about Autumn Bridge Crossing up at the Board of DD. And one of the things that caught my attention was you have three autistic kids. I have three autistic kids. And it's kind of not common, I think, to run into people who have that same type of family dynamic, I guess.
Right. Yeah. It's not common. Yeah.
What was your parenting journey like?
Oh boy. Well, it was difficult. Childhood was difficult, you know. At times I felt like when I had all three of my kids with me, it was like corralling cats.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, and you're out with them in public and you're trying to keep them safe. And just trying to do that alone was difficult, but you might have to also be shopping, or you might be, I don't know, going to a movie or whatnot. So childhood was challenging, you know, and then throw into the mix once they get into school and, you know, all of that, and trying to make sure their needs are met in school. And So, you know, now we're in young adulthood, and I'm telling you, it is a cakewalk compared to what it was like in childhood. And I know that people out there who don't have a child with autism or with special needs might look at my life and say, cakewalk? Are you kidding me? Like, it still looks really challenging, but believe me, for me, this is like smooth sailing right now. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Because it seems like it goes one way or the other, right? Like it seems like the childhood was really easy and then adulthood is really challenging, or vice, you know, versa. That's interesting. Mine has been, it's gotten easier actually as they've gotten older. It's different. Easier might not be the right word. It's different. And I was just working on something for the new website, and it was like, you know, everything that I've done up to this point was focused on my kids being little. You know, kids and navigating things like PT and OT and IEPs and stuff like that. Yeah. Now it's navigating the teenage years and helping my oldest transition to adulthood. Right. And so it's a whole, it's like everything you went through the first half of the journey doesn't really prepare you for anything that you have to deal with on this next part of the journey. And
it's completely different. You're right.
It is. Yeah. You know, did you find, as your kids got older, connecting with resources and services and supports, was that challenging to locate, or were you able to kind of find that stuff pretty easily?
Well, my greatest resource were parents who had children that were older than mine. You know, we're walking the same journey, but they were some years ahead of me. And so they were really able to point me in the right direction to access the resources that my kids needed. But the other thing that helped me personally is that I served on the County Board of Developmental Disabilities. I served on that board for 7 years. I recently stepped down from the board to do my nonprofit, but just being on that board really helped me understand what the county board could offer for the kids and for others like them. So I didn't have that much of a challenge finding resources, but I think that unless you have parent mentors that have gone before you and can point you in the right direction, or you're as involved in your county board like I was, like you don't need to be on the board per se, but just being involved in the county board kind of lets you know what is available. So unless you have those things in your life, finding resources, I think, would be a challenge. And most parents I speak to have a challenge finding those resources. I try to be as strong of an advocate for families as I can. You know, I would not have had such the success that I've had with my kids if I didn't have parents who had gone before me. So I try to be that resource for the younger parents now.
Yeah. It's kind of like lighting that path so that the people who are coming behind you can avoid those same pitfalls or the mistakes. It's sort of when I first started out, it was, you know, the goal was to help people just avoid or learn from my mistakes and maybe navigate something or have information or knowledge that wasn't available to me at the time that can make their journey a little bit easier. And it makes me feel like there's something positive that comes from everything that I've been through, you know, and it kind of helps me, like close everything off and just sort of, it's good for the mental health aspect of things, I think, for me.
I agree.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about when we first met, talked briefly about like my oldest navigating DD and OOD and stuff like that. And so even when you have knowledge and you are aware of where services are, navigating them can be overwhelming for parents, you know, not knowing where to start or even, you know, not understanding information that's being presented at like a board meeting or something like that. When you're talking about setting up services or transportation or job training.
Yeah.
How did you manage that? Was it sort of just your experience that you had working with the board that helped with some of that stuff?
Some of it. I mean, some of my experience with the board helped me understand what comes next and what's available, you know, what to apply for. For example, when my kids turned 14, they could apply for OOD services in the summer for opportunities with for Ohioans with disabilities, work-related services in the summer. But a lot of times the school districts might not introduce that until maybe the kids are like 16. And so I knew that I could go on my own and just have that intake appointment with OOD. So I just went ahead and scheduled it myself. And it seems like I've done that throughout my journey. I find out when is the absolute first time I can apply for anything. And I just make sure that I do it when they reach a certain age. So, you know, eventually I think most parents learn about these types of opportunities, and it's either through the school district, through the special education department, or through their county board with their SSA. But me, I feel like I'm a little bit unique because I kind of went before that would have naturally occurred. Just because that's me. I just got to, you know, I wanted my kids to be as busy as possible. And I just knew a certain date that I could do it. And I did it. Yeah.
So, and that's really helpful too, because like one of the things that we picked up on when we were navigating DD just recently was being able to run like day services and OOD stuff concurrently. So like I can run that, he can do day services to fill up his time during the day, and also still be working with OOD for job training and that kind of stuff. It didn't have to just be one or the other at the time. And the way that it's approached is that they kind of want you to do OOD first, at least what we were told. We want you to do OOD first. And then when that's done, then you come back and we do day services and stuff like that. And it's just about knowing what you can and can't do versus what maybe is advertised that you can do. I guess that makes sense.
I think you're right. And so, you know, sometimes, and I've heard this from other families, it's, you know, it might be presented in one way that, you know, how something can be done. But if you do a little bit of digging, you find out like, oh, maybe that rule has changed recently, or, you know, or because of the pandemic, some exceptions are being made, you know, stuff like that has occurred. And so families find out that they can actually have the plan that they want and they need for their family, for their loved one. Yeah.
So let's talk about Integrated Community Solutions. It's your nonprofit.
Yeah.
And you serve, I mean, is it just Medina County or is it out like kind of the surrounding counties as well?
So our programs, the folks that come to our programs are mostly from Medina County, but we do get individuals from the five surrounding counties. And I think that speaks to the fact that programs such as ours are really in high need in our community. Yeah.
Yeah. We noticed that there's not a lot of places like that.
No.
You know, we're coming from Stark County. So I guess it's sort of a surrounding, it's not really a surrounding county. So we're actually coming from a greater distance because there's a lack of that anywhere else near us, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really cool that you've opened up to outside counties so that people have a place to go.
Absolutely.
What types of like enrichment services do you guys offer?
So we have our social enrichment programming, and that is free programming that includes bingo, game night, movie night. We've had hay rides. We've done apple picking. We've gone to pumpkin patches. We've had a magic show. We've had an animal show, like an exotic animal show. We have had, did I say bingo? We have yoga. We have a walk and roll group. And then we also have an art group. We meet for art group about three times a month. And for art group, we charge $5. And that helps cover the cost of supplies, but everything else is free of charge. And with our social enrichment programming, we're meeting anywhere from 2 to 4 times a week, depending on the month and depending on the weather.
Very cool.
We also have our vocational training opportunities to help build employability skill. And we do that in the summer months. Mm-hmm. We partner with different agencies. We partnered, for example, with Feeding Medina County last summer. And every time we were there, we organized their products and made their shelves look like it was a store. And then also we have training and educational opportunities for families on topics that are of interest to our families, like Social Security benefits or special needs planning or waivers, for example.
Gary Tonks.
Yeah, Gary Tonks. Yeah. He was wonderful.
So when you were putting all of this together, was it, did you kind of base this stuff on what you wish you had had available to you when your kids were younger? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, having three kids with autism, when they were growing up, I might find a social program that I wanted them to participate in, but it was 10 weeks and it was $300 a child. And after 10 weeks, you're done. And, you know, most of our individuals at this point, you know, in adulthood are considered low income individuals. And there was just no way I felt comfortable charging them for participation in something that I feel we all should have access to. You know, feel it's something we all should have access to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How does it feel to be able to provide these things for so many families?
Yeah, gosh, I don't even, that is something I just don't even think about. But now that you ask me that question, I feel like I was born to do this.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just in my DNA to do this. So I don't really think about what the end result is. I just kind of keep moving forward and looking for more to do and more to expose our people to. But I guess, you know, now that you asked that question, I'm grateful that I have the connections and the ability to do what I'm doing. You know, I'm very grateful.
Is there something that kind of stands out to you as being just memorable about all of this stuff? Like, is there a story that really kind of sticks with you about how, you know, this has impacted people in real life?
Well, so we won a grant to have a promotional video made.
Okay.
And some of our group participants were interviewed for this video, and I'm getting emotional as I speak. When they were being filmed and when they were answering questions about what the groups have meant to them and how our groups have impacted their lives, I was bawling. I couldn't stay in the room. I know I was just screwing up the audio because you could hear me sobbing. And I know the struggle, you know, I know the struggle and the isolation that oftentimes comes with having a disability and having opportunities like this. I also know how valuable that could be to somebody's life. And so to hear our individuals just kind of voice that, it was very emotional for me. But I will tell you this, in running these groups and in meeting all the incredible people and families that I've met, I myself have been given like one of the greatest of gifts because I kind of feel like I'm home. You know, when you live a life that focuses and centers around special needs, you really struggle to find a place where you fit in society. And in doing what I'm doing, I myself have just kind of found home. And I really love it. I really love being with our folks.
Do you ever feel like, you know, I think some people go through things in life and it can make or break them. It can define them. It can whatever, right? Do you find that everything that you have been through, like with your own family and your own kids, like it's given you purpose and a direction to help people?
Absolutely. I mean, I started the nonprofit because I realized there was a housing need and I realized there's a housing choice that we're missing. And that's home ownership mm-hmm. with living with, you know, our friends, right? But the other stuff that comes along with this journey, like doing our social enrichment or doing our volunteer programs or all the other stuff that's just coming along with it, it gives me great sense of purpose because this is something I want to provide. This is something that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that I want to provide so that it exists. And yeah, I feel like I can't stop. I feel like I have to keep going. You know, when I say this is something that didn't exist, I'm talking about a free social enrichment program where everybody is invited. That just wasn't a thing. It just didn't exist. And so that's what we're doing. But on top of that, you know, we're adding in parent training and educational seminars and volunteer experiences. I mean, I am motivated, highly motivated to keep going because I would not want to see this go away.
I didn't know about the parent training, and that's really exciting. One of the things that constantly comes up is parent training and helping parents to gain skills and resources that they need to better meet their kids' needs and help them just to even survive the journey. Because being a special needs parent is so exhausting. I've been doing it for 20, just turned 23 last week. Wow.
Yeah.
At least 22 years now. Cause I've been raising him since he was a year old, and it's tough. Like it just is tough. And I find myself without having the benefit of those things playing catch up in my 40s, things that I should have been doing a long time ago, but I didn't because I was so overwhelmed by everything that goes on. And I was doing the best that I could to sort of triage things. And there was a lot of things that had I had the tools or the skill sets or the knowledge that I do now, would have been a different experience. And so I wanted to ask you with the parenting stuff, what kind of things are you offering?
So we have our quarterly seminars in topics that are of interest to our families. Like we had a seminar on government benefits, like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We had a seminar on special needs financial planning, which is super important, which a lot of our families don't even think about that until, you know, years into this journey. Mm-hmm. The fact that there will come a time most likely when our loved ones are going to be here without us, you know, and just planning for that. We also did a seminar where, again, we brought in Gary Tonks and he presented on waivers. So, and for our viewers or our listeners, waivers are something that's offered by your county board of DD. And a lot of times our individuals don't qualify for waivers until they're adults. And the waivers are the things that are going to help them maintain their day programming and then maintain their care provider services after day programming, in addition to other stuff. But those are the two biggies that they'll need help with.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I was just recording another interview for my other podcast, and we were talking about ABLE accounts. And
yes.
I've been a parent for 20 years plus, like doing this. And that was something that I was learning about for like the first time. I didn't know. They've been around for 15 years or something. I had no idea, you know, and it's about, there's a lot of stuff out there that we're just not connecting the dots. Like we're just not aware that these things are available. And I think what you're doing is such a vital service to the community, because sometimes we just don't know where to go, you know, and we just don't know how to move forward. Like we want to, we're motivated, we're not whatever. We don't have a direction to go in, and you're shining a light for people who are kind of lost in the dark. And that's powerful. It's very powerful. And it's very empowering for parents.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned ABLE accounts. I think that the ABLE account and the stable account, I think we're going to have a seminar on that soon. Because it is a very important tool that our families know about. For our listeners, once your child qualifies for SSI, a type of Social Security, you know, you can't have over $2,000 in assets. However, these ABLE/stable accounts allow our individuals to have more than $2,000 in assets. And that's very important because outside of that ABLE account, if you have $2,000 in assets, you will lose your Social Security support. And so, yeah, ABLE accounts are so important. I'm glad you learned about them.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And, yeah. and it just sort of like all the things you're doing, I wish that I had had available to me way back in the day when I was first going through this stuff. So like, I applaud everything that you're doing. I think it's absolutely amazing. And one of the really, the cool things that I wanted to talk about too was Autumn Bridge Crossing, because that's how we were at your presentation for that. And my goodness, like, what a cool idea. What an amazing idea. And I never thought, in all the things that I've thought about my years as a parent, home ownership was never something that even occurred to me as something that was important and to help secure their future. So can you talk a little bit about Autumn Bridge Crossing and kind of what was your inspiration behind doing this?
Right. Yes. So as you know, my kids are young adults, and a couple of years ago, we started to think about housing for them. And we realized that we wanted them to own their homes so that they could have permanence and they could age in place. And then I came across this concept available in other states of these planned communities for people with disabilities, but all of the homes in the pocket neighborhood were privately owned by the residents or their families. And so for me, this choice was a no-brainer. This is what I wanted for my kids. I wanted them to own their homes so they truly had permanence when I was no longer here. And also, they could age in place with friends and also build equity in a really important asset, you know, something that could be useful in later life care. So this is not my idea. It's an idea I'm borrowing, but it is brilliant. And I can't believe we haven't done it before. And I'm really happy that, you know, we came across this concept and we're bringing it to Ohio. It's needed. I mean, housing all by itself is needed. We have a shortage, but this type of housing is non-existent in Ohio. So we're bringing it.
Where are you in the planning stages of Autumn Bridge Crossing? Like, where are you in the process?
So we had, first of all, we're looking for 12 to 20 acres in Medina County. And we figured we would have a few years to build relationships in the community, introduce ourselves to local businesses, local government, let them know who we are, what we want to do in the future. But a parcel of 12 acres kind of fell in my lap. Somebody came along and said, hey, we're buying this large piece of land. We would like you to be on these 12 acres of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, we've got to kick this up in high gear. I need to get these relationships built. I need to kick off a capital campaign. You know, all of these things moved up by 2 years. And so that's kind of where we are. We're going to kick off the capital campaign later this year. We need to raise about $8 million, and that will help us buy the land, develop the land, and also build our 10,000 square foot enrichment center. In our enrichment center, we will have two different day programs for people to participate in. Like, for example, we'll have a transitions academy mm-hmm. in our enrichment center that'll teach independent living skill. We will also have vocational training programs throughout our community. And with these, I'm really hoping to partner with existing agencies so that they can come in and maybe have a building maintenance vocational program or a horticulture program. I'd love to have a lawn and landscape vocational program. So our enrichment center is definitely going to be an active hub for the larger developmental disabilities community. But to do all of this, to start it off, we do have to have our capital campaign that should kick off later this year.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, because this is an amazing thing. I remember seeing the reaction to the people in the crowd as you were talking about this, and there's so many parents that are interested. Are you finding that the public, like, in the special needs community is taking interest in what you're doing here?
Oh, immense interest. Immense interest. Because again, this is a choice that we haven't had. You know, if you wanted your individuals to live with their friends as neighbors, there were a few communities, and all of those are rental communities. Mm-hmm. So this is a choice that families have been asking for. And, you know, the other thing is, the reason we came out a few years ahead of the game to just tell people what we were planning on doing is because it can then give families planning time. You know, how am I going to purchase a home? We will be selling one bedroom, two bedroom, and three bedroom homes. They will go at market rate prices, and families need to figure out, you know, how can I do this? Now, our individuals, when they are adults, they will have sources of income and they will have sources of support that will help, you know, pay their monthly rent. Let's say if their family owns the home, right? Mm-hmm. So that'll help pay a mortgage. The biggest challenge for families will be coming up with a down payment that will then allow their loved one to live in that home with the amount that they can pay each month, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of families have said, well, I want to build a two bedroom or a three bedroom because they don't want their loved one to age without roommates, you know, age in place without roommates. They want them to be there with friends, living with friends. And so those individuals, those roommates, will pay rent to the families. So that could also help pay for that monthly like mortgage payment of the home. So there are ways to do this, even for individuals that haven't been planning for the last 20 years to buy a home, right? There are ways to do this. I think as soon as we open up a list of people interested, we're going to have a waiting list. It's going to fill up pretty quickly.
Do you have ideas that go beyond one community? Like, would you like to see this expand into other counties?
I don't have any plans of doing that. I would love to see that happen. And yes, my board has talked about, you know, once this is up and running, let's do another one, you know, in another county, for example. So it's not a hard and fast plan that we have, but we do discuss it. Yeah.
Where can people go to find more information about everything that you're doing?
So you can go to my website, and it is www.ics-oh.org. So ics-oh.org. So that's my website. And we have probably 60 frequently asked questions that there are answers for on the website. And then also, I have a very active Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I post lots of images and pictures about all the things that we do, you know, throughout the week. So there also people can get information. And the third thing I would say is sign up for our monthly newsletter. Okay. Yeah, I send out about one email a month. I should send out more than that, but I'm telling you, trying to find time to fit this all in is tough. So I definitely get at least one out a month, and that has our monthly activity calendar on it.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask you about, a monthly activity calendar for people who are listening within driving distance or whatever, who want to come and participate in these services. They can get them in the newsletter. They can also get it on the website and probably on the Facebook page as well.
Absolutely. All three. Yep.
Okay. And then I'll have all of that in the show notes and on the blog post, so people can just kind of click and go right there. So it's easy for them to find. Is there anything else? Is there like a message you want to send parents before we close things out?
I want parents to know that you're not alone, that there are others out there on this journey. And for me, meeting other families and meeting other parents when my kids were young really helped me understand how to get the resources I needed. But today, now that my kids are a little bit older, meeting other people and meeting other families just sustains me. It makes me feel like I have, like I'm home and like I have my community. And I don't feel so isolated or alone. So I would just encourage people to meet others on your journey. Do whatever you can to meet others on your journey. And if your children are young and you make friends with those parents who also have young children, those could be your support throughout the next 20 years and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you've been around for a little while and you have some experience, you know, light the path for the people coming behind you. You know, I think people can be very private, and I totally understand that. I think everybody has to do what they feel is comfortable, but you know, I have found a lot of solace in like personal peace with helping other families who are coming behind me. You know, it just kind of makes it, not that raising my kids by itself isn't worth it, because it totally is, but it just helps it. It resonates differently when I'm able to use what I've learned to help other people. You know?
Well, thank you for what you're doing, because you just help so many families. And I know that raising your kids alone is totally worth it, but doing what you do probably puts it adds more meaning to it.
Yeah.
Above and beyond, you know, just being the great dad that you are, right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And, you know, I want to be here to support and help whatever you're doing at the time. And we'll be in touch, and maybe do another episode down the road where we talk about specific things or whatever that can help bring information to the community. And I just think what you're doing is amazing. I think, honestly, you're a hero to a lot of families.
I don't. They give me so much. They've added so much to my life that I'm so grateful and thankful. You know, I don't feel like a hero, but I do feel exceptionally grateful and thankful. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. As a parent, I appreciate everything that you're doing. And you know, take care of yourself and your family. And you know, we'll just keep moving forward and helping build community and support and education and, you know, try and make life better for as many people as we can.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Before I let you go, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate you, and I hope that you both enjoyed and learned something from this episode. As a reminder, you can visit specialneedsohio.com, where you can learn more about my family, this show, and even join my free private Facebook support group for Ohio families. You can also leave feedback, ask questions, suggest a future guest or topic, and even request to be a guest yourself. You can subscribe to this podcast on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps so you never miss a new episode. And if you did enjoy this episode, please take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts or whatever app you're using. It takes like 30 seconds, but it makes a big difference. It's a great way to support the show, and it makes it easier for other families to find it. Thank you again for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.